From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11. This message focuses on the faith of Abraham and Sarah and is entitled The Fruitfulness of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Be of Good Cheer. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My Lord's words are true as to the tribulation. I have my share of it beyond all doubt. The flail is not hung up out of the way, nor can I hope that it will be laid aside so long as I lie upon the threshing floor. How can I look to be at home in the enemy's country, joyful while in exile, or comfortable in a wilderness? This is not my rest. This is the place of the furnace and the forge and the hammer. My experience tallies with my Lord's words. I note how he bids me be of good cheer. Alas, I am far too apt to be downcast. My spirit soon sinks when I am sorely tried. But I must not give way to this feeling. When my Lord bids me cheer up, I must not dare to be cast down. What is the argument which he uses to encourage me? Why, it is his own victory. He says, I have overcome the world. His battle was much more severe than mine. I have not yet resisted unto blood. Why do I despair of overcoming? See, my soul, the enemy has been once overcome. I fight with a beaten foe. O world, Jesus has already vanquished thee, and in me, by his grace, he will overcome thee again. Therefore am I of good cheer, and sing unto my conquering Lord. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of God overcoming the seeming impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having a child because they were old. Their carnal effort to fulfill God's promise through Hagar demonstrates the truth that the flesh always opposes God's way of doing things. Dr. Cairns has shown that this fleshly opposition manifests itself in man's determination to bypass the gospel and to save himself by works. Throughout the Christian's life, he will always have to battle the flesh. The only way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Jesus Christ. As we'll see today, faith's triumph over the flesh produces abundant fruit, both in spiritual growth and in effective service for God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message entitled, The Fruitfulness of Faith.
The way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Christ. Didn't we read in Romans chapter 4 of Abraham and his great faith? We read there that verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now that's not to say he didn't think about his body. Abraham did. You go back to the Old Testament and he confessed his body was dead. But what it is saying is this, by faith. Abraham, though he recognized the deadness of his body, did not esteem that body capable of overcoming his God and his promise, but rather overcame it by the promise. And he staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not through unbelief. Abraham had a battle going on inside him. Abraham had a judgment to make about the promise of God. And when he saw the God who gave the promise, and when he saw the content of the promise, when his heart got filled with the promise of God's grace in Christ, who is the promised seed, I want to tell you, Abraham didn't stagger. Unbelief couldn't defeat him. And the flesh and the deadness of his body couldn't defeat him. He overcame the deadness of his body by faith in Jesus Christ. Now I come back to one of my favorite themes. I have mentioned this so many times that if I had any shame in me about it, I would be ashamed to say it again. But you see, I have no shame about saying it again. The life that I now live in the flesh, how do I live it? How do most Christians live the life they now live in the flesh? By counselors. That's how they live. By little books of Christian psychology. That's how they live it. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by rote, by rule, by regulation. I was talking to a brother yesterday, the way down from Virginia Beach, in the plane. We're talking about the standards and fundamentalism. Now, I believe in those standards. I don't like to see fellas with their hair down to their shoulders. Don't like to see a man trying to look like a woman, and I detest even more a woman trying to look like a man. I believe in modest dress. I believe in steering clear of blues and cinema. And a whole lot of other things as well. I believe in standards. And I don't think fundamentalism is going to be helped by dropping its standards. I have no time whatsoever for this so-called Christian liberty movement in so many reformed churches, which is a liberty to be as worldly as you can be and get away with. I have no time for it. But you'll never create holy people by saying, this is the rule, this is the regulation, and that's what you've got to live by. You'll never do that. I learned that when I came to Greenville. I think, when I look around, probably only Dr. Gingery was in the room that morning in Sharon Drive. Those of you who are from BJ will know that it's a custom there every Sunday morning that the ladies wear head covering.
I think they're trying to make sure that people understand this is a worship service, different from chapel services, different from programs. This is a special morning service. And a young woman who had been there for quite a few years and came to our church for a while said, "The Lord has led me to want to join this church." And she would come to church, and actually she had a hat on because she had been a BJ grad. And all was sweet and lovely and kind and smiles. And I could well have overlooked it, but I said, "Well, you do realize that in the Free Church, Our Lady members, we don't force other people's consciences, but Our Lady members do cover their head in public worship." I have never seen an explosion like it. If you could just imagine gunpowder and me throwing a match into it, phew, up it went. Man, what a fight we had. Well, actually, she was like Mike Tyson, metaphorically. I don't mean that she got up and actually was throwing her fist, but metaphorically, verbally. She was like Mike Tyson, and I was like the ex-Cassius Clay. I was dancing and ducking. Really bitter and really angry. She was willing to live her life by rote and by regulation. But man, it was building up a frustration and a bitterness and an anger and a hatred. How could a person, that's only an example, how could a person really live so that their standards are high and right, but they're not living in bondage to standards? That's the question. If you live in bondage to standards, you are in bondage. I mean, you'll be the most miserable, frustrated, introverted, unhappy wretch if you're just constantly living by standards. But oh, if you're living by faith in Jesus Christ, if your eyes are fixed on Christ, if your heart is full of Christ, if what you do because of what you believe concerning Jesus Christ, your standards will be the highest standards in the country, but they be standards of liberty. There's the difference. I don't want to harp on about hats, nor am I trying to make visitors feel bad on that score. That's not my position. We don't force people's consciences. We're always happy to give a reason for what we do if we're asked. But just to show you the difference, one of our oldest members is Mrs. Farrell. And an old friend of hers from bygone days came to her one day. And she said, "You women wear hats going to that church." I don't know why that should get her so angry. She said, "Yep." And the woman, a young, upstanding woman of about 75, she looked at her and she said, "I wouldn't wear a hat for any man." Exactly the same spirit as the other young lady. Mrs. Farrell sweetly looked at her and she said, "Oh, neither would I. But I would do anything for the Lord Jesus. I'll do anything for the Lord Jesus." Now lift it beyond that one issue. Put that for your whole life. So many people are doing things to please men. So many people are doing things because men tell them to do them. So many people live their lives by rule, by regulation, and they're living in defeat. Don't you think for a minute, because a young fella has short hair, clean shaven, maybe I shouldn't say that with so many beards around here nowadays.
Where's your collar and tie? He's nicely turned out. Don't you think for a minute that he's living in Christian Victory? I have met people and talked to people and they're doing it all, and on the outside they look wonderful, and inside they're tied in knots, and sometimes they're in the inside they're living under the bondage of terrible sin. And many of them have no assurance of salvation and no hope of heaven. And their connection with the gospel and with the church of Christ is just all external. The flesh stands in the way of the promise, and the only way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Jesus Christ. It is a personal living faith in a living Christ that gives meaning and reality, substance to the Christian life. Nothing else is Christianity. Christianity is not going to church, saying the Lord's Prayer, singing the right hymn, saying the right words, doing the right things. That's not Christianity. You could take a Muslim, you could take a Buddhist, you could put him in a suit, you could bring him into a church, you could give him the standards, you could let him live the same way and put on the same external show, but he'd still be the same unsaved man inside. You need a faith in Jesus Christ. That's the way to overcome the flesh. The third thing we note, and I better quit very quickly, is that faith's triumph over the flesh produces abundant fruit. The seed was born. Isaac came into the world by faith. There is the fruit of sanctification. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits of the Spirit, but the ninefold, nine ways described, fruit of the Spirit. You find it's in three threes. Have a look at the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5:22. But there's more than that. There's the fruit of service. I didn't plan it this way, but it just so happens this is the text that the morning we have a dedication of a little one. I want to take this for a moment for Christian parents in the most literal possible way. Abraham had sons who probably lived and died and went to hell. And certainly the vast majority of his offspring, through Ishmael and through the sons of Keturah, perished. Your children will not go to heaven just because they were born to saved parents. Abraham had children that were conceived in disobedience and conceived in unbelief, without reference to the promise, without reference to the gospel. They and he paid the price. He had a son, Isaac, who was born in faith, in his parents' faith, whose swaddling clothes were his parents' faith, and he was saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.